A Civil War soldier's ghost makes an appearance at a rather unopportune time. Guys, think stage fright. It is a creepy story, an amazing story. If you're into Civil War history and ghosts, this is a story you don't want to miss. It's on a recent episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode, called Classified Paranormal, if you want to check it out.
You won't forget this one.
When you sign up to be an EPP at Real Ghost Stories Online, you get access to more than 50 EPP bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. It's only $5 a month, and it keeps our show on the air. If you enjoy this show, consider supporting it and becoming an EPP, extra podcast person, at realghoststoriesonline.com now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a father finds that he is haunted by those whose deaths he must help investigate. A family loves their home despite all of the paranormal occurrences. Could a character in a video game be haunting the creator of the game? And a listener finds her sleepless nights are a bad omen. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I have my coffee in hand. Earlier this afternoon, I was kind of getting a headache, and I didn't know why. And then I discovered I had not had any caffeine all day,
mm-hmm.
which is a great thing to have the feeling of. It's like, oh, great, I'm addicted to caffeine. I don't drink that much coffee.
No.
I drink soda.
Uh-huh.
I don't drink a lot, but it's like a sporadic thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
And like if the day after I had a lot of soda, the next day I'll feel it. I don't drink soda every day, but it's like usually if we go to the gas station, I'll get the 32-ounce giant gulp or whatever the hell it is.
Or Diet Rockstar.
I haven't been doing so much of that lately.
Yeah.
That every now and then for a treat.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been kind of getting off the energy drink stuff. But it's just, you know, even just cola. If I have like a big one of those the next day, I will get a headache if I don't have something to kind of temper the caffeine down. So
sure.
Here we are. Cup of coffee number two.
There you go. I think that's the worst kind of headache I can have is a caffeine deprivation headache.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, drink coffee.
Wait it out, mm-hmm. or feed the crave.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I'm drinking more coffee because I figured that would be easier to read and do a show with than have a headache the entire show.
Thank you for that.
So there you go.
Okay.
All right. Let's get right to it. Got some great letters and stories here today. Of course, if you have a real ghost story you'd like to share with us, you can call in at 855-853-4802. Or, of course, you can also write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So there's lots of ways for you to get your story to us. And if you want to discuss any of the stories, we have a forum section up on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Jenny's got her silly putty, and she's ready to hear some ghost stories.
I'm ready.
I'm not even joking. She has an egg of silly putty because we couldn't find them in the store anymore.
No.
We thought this would be a great thing for the kids just to kind of have in the mom purse when we go to restaurants or something,
mm-hmm.
rather than technology, rather than the iPhones.
Yeah.
And yeah, but we're keeping one of the eggs in here.
Well, it's good for people who have attention issues.
It is.
Have something to fidget.
It is.
That and my chair here, the studio chair, rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to focus if I'm rocking and fidgeting.
Eventually you'll be knitting. I'm just going to have you knit scarves.
No.
Over there, back and forth.
I don't see that.
Little cat boots for our cat. Morgan writes in, I just finished listening to the episode entitled Demonic. The last caller spoke about astral projection dreams. This story brought about a memory I had with my dad and one of his bizarre dreams he told me about a couple years before he died. My dad passed away suddenly May 4th, 2013 in a motorcycle accident. My sisters and I were devastated. He was my best friend. We often had conversations about the supernatural and theories about where we go when we die. He came off as your typical tough ex-Marine, Harley enthusiast to people who didn't know him very well, but He was a very deep person with very grounded theories about the afterlife and how important it is that we make the most of what we have now. He was also a very vivid dreamer. These dreams would often be of loved ones who've passed or living loved ones who were in danger. He'd rarely tell us his dreams, but my sister and I would always take his advice about not taking a certain road or what time to be home because we knew he had a certain intuition about these things. My dad was a railroad foreman, which was a very tough job emotionally. If there was a train accident in the area, he was usually there before the EMTs and saw all sorts of gruesome things. When he was first promoted, he told my mom that he dreamt that I jumped in front of a train he was driving. 2 days later, he got a call to come to an accident scene where an 18-year-old girl who was blonde, 5 foot, 100 to 110 pounds, had been hit. He couldn't believe how much I looked like her and couldn't look at me for days. One of his more out-there dreams was of my youngest sister. In this dream, he walked outside to see the yard full of kangaroos and low-floating red balloons. As he walked through the yard, he noticed the kangaroos had human faces, and they began asking him, "Hi, how are you?" over and over. He looked up and saw one of them holding his 3-year-old daughter's hand and leading her into the woods. Before he could stop them, he woke up. This dream sounds hilarious and creepy, but it deeply disturbed him. The dream I'm writing to you about jumped to my mind when listening to your show. It still gives me chills. I still remember how pale he was when he finally told me what was bothering him. He said he sat up in bed and felt compelled to go into the kitchen. As he walked down the hallway, he noticed dozens of people. Their backs were facing him, noses against the wall, down the narrow hall. He didn't recognize anyone in the kitchen. There were even more people just standing there in the dark as some walked back and forth across the room. No one acknowledged him or even each other, for that matter. He felt angry and confused that all these strange people were in his house and stormed back to his room, past all the strangers facing the walls. He was determined to change his clothes and get to the bottom of whatever was going on. The door to his room was no longer open as he left it. He felt dread in the pit of his stomach as he turned the doorknob. When he finally opened the door, he saw himself lying in bed as he was earlier. Suddenly, he couldn't breathe and felt his heart struggling in his chest, and he knew that if he couldn't wake up his sleeping self, he would die. In a panic, he looked around the room and out the window. He saw a white owl with gigantic black eyes that was smiling back at him. He closed his eyes, and when he opened them again, he was in his bed, gasping for air. I still have no idea if that dream meant anything, and I often wondered if he was one of those few people who could leave his body in his sleep and connect with a different plane of existence. I just know that was the most terrified I'd ever seen him. Thanks so much for letting me share the story about the man who loved and cared for his 3 daughters, so much so that he was able to leave a missed call on our individual phones from his disconnected line weeks after he passed. His phone was destroyed in the accident, and we immediately canceled his phone service the day after his death. I think it takes a lot more to keep a loving parent from contacting their children to let them know everything is going to be okay. Thanks for everything you guys do to put this show together daily. I'm an EPP, and I listen to you all day when I'm working. It's a real comfort to hear these stories, and it further confirms to me that I will see him again someday. Morgan.
I think there is a definite paranormal undertone to this story with the way he's having premonition-type dreams.
Well, and the way that some of the early dreams she talked about in there did have a come to fruition.
Yeah.
You know, there was a connection there.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if the dream about Morgan jumping in front of the train, in the dream he thought it was Morgan, but mm-hmm. it really wasn't. It
sure.
was this other girl.
Sure.
Because the appearance was so similar,
mm-hmm.
and maybe he just assumed it was her.
Yeah, he just kind of drew that conclusion, because if you're dreaming about someone, you know, anything, you're going to try and in most cases connect it to people who are around you
mm-hmm.
and you care about, not necessarily just talking about. There was a dream about a stranger who kind of looked a lot like you. You know, yeah. you would think, no, that was her.
Yeah.
There's a reason that was the image. But unfortunately, I mean, the girl obviously died and it did look similar, but it might have just been a forewarning or just him having that premonition ahead of time and it just happened to be a similar looking girl. The kangaroo one is interesting.
It is interesting, and I'm not sure what to make of it.
I don't know what that symbolizes or what that means. I'm wondering if that, you know, I think there's kind of the implication there with the last one, with seeing the people in the hallway face down and looking away, and him feeling the chest pains being pretty much like a premonition of his own death.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting. That'd be the disturbing part. If you know that your dreams are having a lot of meaning and you tend to foretell things, when you get the dream that is foretelling of something bad happening to you.
Yeah.
Because then you just have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
That would be really, really difficult. Thank you for writing in, Morgan, and sharing those stories with us. The phone number, 855-853-4802. It's a toll-free number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Jesse writes, "Hi, let me start with saying I am a new listener and am enjoying your show very much. I live in Queensland, Australia. My experience started when I first moved into our home when I was 14 years old. I was an 8-year-old Queenslander
It
was an eight-bedroom.
Okay.
Eight-bedroom. Okay, there we go. It was an eight-bedroom, old Queenslander home that had recently been fully renovated and happened to be one of the original homes in the area. When I saw old, I immediately went to eight-year-old and...
I know.
My mind just went. When my parents first bought the home, it had not been lived in since the renovation had been completed. But for some odd reason, there was a feeling that no one had ever moved out. Walking through the home, you got the sense that you shouldn't be walking into the rooms. The best example was as though you had your house on the market and there was an open house. You weren't sure where the people were in the house, but you knew they were there. These feelings seemed to increase the more we lived there. Our guests would enter and try to be polite, but the feeling would be overwhelming. Most would avoid saying anything until me or parents brought it up. Even our house cleaner would only come in when she knew we would be home. She said she hated cleaning our home, not just because of the mere size, but the fact that she constantly heard a man speaking to her with no one in the house. Many things made up our experiences. While we watched TV in the living room, you would see someone walking down the hallway out of the corner of your eye, or hearing people walking down the timber floor hallway and stopping when you turned the TV off. This occurred to everyone who entered the home. Almost daily, something occurred that made you feel very inculpable as to what was going on, as well as questioning yourself. We lived in the home for about a year, when one night I was lying in my bed and was home by myself. It was about 10 p.m. I turned the TV off and was not asleep. All of a sudden, I heard four large bangs down the hallway, as if someone was banging their hands on the walls. The timber floors began creaking like crazy. After hearing this, I knew my mother and father were still out. I was unable to move, just lied there, unable to close my eyes, when all of a sudden, I heard a little girl voice screaming, "Tamara! Tamara!" I don't think I had known fear until hearing this. I'm an only child and no other children live in the house or even in the neighboring homes. I lied in bed for another 2 minutes after this, which felt like an hour. I then flew out of bed, out the house, and started running barefoot, eventually reaching a friend's house half an hour away and called my father. My father and mother came and collected me, hysterically screaming the night's events and my father reassuring me I had been dreaming. My mother, oddly quiet. She almost seemed mad with me for what had happened to me. My father being the only remaining person who entered our house, believing that nothing was happening. He'd always reassure everyone, the house was old when we heard people walking, or the house is just settling when you could clearly hear people talking in other rooms. My mother would say it was just his way of coping with the situation. This always upset me. About a month later, around 8 p.m., I was home by myself and getting ready to go out with some friends. I was downstairs and something had caught my eye out the window. I noticed that my parents' light had turned on upstairs. I could clearly see this from the light reflecting onto the garden. I began to run upstairs to ask my mother for some money for my night ahead of me, When I got halfway up the stairs, I thought, I can't hear anything. Reached the top of the stairs and yelled for them with no answer. I proceeded to enter their room and saw the light that had turned on. I stood in the middle of the room for a few moments and felt a sudden amount of rage and boldness and said, if you're going to do something, just do it. To this day, I still have no idea why I did this. I think my brain still wanted to rationalize the situation, but nothing was going on and all of the past events were easily explained. And all of a sudden, the light in the bathroom flicked on and the door I had entered began to slowly close. I ran out of the house for the second time that month in tears. My father and mother returned home not long after that to find me crying out the front of the house in worse shape than the prior month. After this experience, my mom decided enough was enough. She waited till she was home by herself and stood in the hallway where most of the dark shadows were seen. She asked whoever was here to leave her daughter alone. And if they're going to live here, that it had to live here peacefully. After this, we never had another problem. You can almost tell that whoever was in the house felt a certain amount of remorse for scaring me. It was almost pleasant, like whoever lived there had never had a young girl living there and was just excited. Fast forwarding 3 years, I moved overseas, and returning home a few years later, I decided I would move back into that house. The house had been empty while I was away, with my mother and father living in a different state. I lived there for 2 years by myself and loved every experience I had. Little things would happen. One of the first nights I was back, the water had been turned off because no one had lived there. I organized with the water company to put the water back on. The water decided to come back on at 2 a.m. in the morning. I was in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden I was shoved, and a man said, "Get out of bed." I got up and couldn't hear or see anything. The house was so big and the tap that was running was at the other end of the house. After walking around the house, I eventually heard the tap that had been left off turned on. I thanked them for helping me and went back to bed. Little helpful things like that continued to happen. Because I, living by myself in such a big house, it was almost comforting to know I was never alone and whoever was there was looking out for me. My parents have recently sold the house to a nice family with 3 boys. I hope they enjoy it as much as my family did. I love listening to your show, and thank you for reading my story.
I love how she could change the experience with the way she looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first she was really scared, and then after she came back, she was kind of glad to not be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's sometimes... you know, you make the best out of the situation. That's like all you can do.
And that's not the easiest thing to do when it comes to something paranormal.
Sure.
A lot of times it's just, it's something very traumatic and it remains that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, until you can figure out a way to do it. So yeah, I give her a lot of credit for that. What I really thought was interesting was the analogy of when you go into an open house, and you know that someone else is there in some other room, but you just don't know where.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting analogy. And it's a great way of describing when you're feeling like a presence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's on the spectrum of being an empath, but I do not in any way consider myself that. But I'm usually pretty accurate if we go into an open house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm unaware that there's anyone there. There's just no evidence of it when you walk in the door. There's not like a car in the driveway. It's just you walk in and you don't hear anything. I can usually tell if the house is completely empty or if there's someone somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually right.
Yeah.
Can you tell that?
Usually, yeah. I mean, it just feels different.
Yeah. I mean, I'm genuinely surprised if I feel there's no one there, then I happen to see someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually have the feeling either way, one way or the other. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know.
That was a great way to describe that feeling.
Yeah.
Because anybody who's sensitive, it's very difficult to put into words when you feel an energy or a presence that you can't see.
I think we all have that sense. Mm-hmm. I think some people have honed in on it better than others. Now, empathically is a little bit more different. I think it goes a lot more deeper than just sensing another human being around you. But I think we all have that ability of at least being able to sense another being near us. Not necessarily dig deeper, as a lot of empaths can do, but I think everyone has that ability. It's a matter of recognizing what the feeling is.
And I think it's like anything else. The more you tap into that, the better you get at it. But you're right. I think we all can pick up on that. But somebody that's more of an empath and very sensitive is going to be able to say, okay, this is a child presence. This is a female presence.
Yeah.
This is not threatening, or it is threatening.
I don't know that part is learned. I think that part is just some have the ability, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can certainly tap into the feeling more and recognize whatever you're able to recognize.
Sure.
But I think there's a limit with certain people. Some of us just have the ability. It's like sight.
Yeah.
Regular eyesight. Some of us simply have better eyesight than others. Mm-hmm. You can't learn to see better.
That's right.
You know, but we all have, I mean, not everyone. I mean, we do have several blind listeners, but you know, those who do see, there is sight there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, you know, most people have that to a certain extent.
Sure.
So I suppose, you know, there could be the ability to, so there's a few that do not have that at all,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, this is something that we should learn to tap into better. So let's go to a bunch of open houses and let's play. Is there anyone here?
Okay, that sounds like fun.
Anonymous writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Big new fan of the show. It's one of the very first podcasts I ever listened to after getting an iPod and discovering its podcast feature. Completely in love with the show, with the way you guys banter, the fact that you're just two regular people interested in the spooky and scary instead of two professionals, completely hooked. Hooked, but poor, so becoming an EPP probably isn't in the foreseeable future. I've got two stories for you, but the one I'm typing up now is the more abjectly weird one, and the one that actually frightens me despite being only a brief occurrence. My story is related to a horror video game series I've become a big fan of lately. The series is less than a year old, but there are three games with a fourth on the way and WB owning movie rights already. I feel I should explain it in brief to give context for the experience. I apologize for having to do so. The series is called Five Nights at Freddy's. Small and relatively cheap indie games made completely by one guy. The most basic description I can give is Chuck E. Cheese, but evil. The animatronics, creepy on their own, have the ability to walk around the restaurant and you play as a night guard watching security footage and, well, trying not to die. One of the animatronics is a rabbit, a purple one called Bonnie. Bonnie the Bunny. He's the most active of the animatronics. In the first of the series, he's the one that I had the experience with. In the first game, just before Bonnie kills you while he's hiding in your office, he makes very distinct and very human gasping and moaning sounds. These sounds can be heard on the wiki page for the game, in case you too want to get an idea of what I'm talking about, if you feel that necessary. I heard these sounds one night in mid-June. I was home alone for a week, and it was early in the morning while I was trying to sleep. I was lying in bed, tossing and turning, trying to find a comfortable spot when I heard them. Off in the distance, as if somewhere else in my house, but still very clear and easily identifiable. I had no windows open in the house that night, as far as I can recall, so it's unlikely it came from outside, and if it did, well, I'm not sure what was out there that could have been making that kind of sound. I might have been able to put it off as just hearing things while half asleep, and I did for the rest of that night and most of the next day, but come evening, I had a visual experience that made me really, truly believe I was visited by the fictional animatronic. Right outside my bedroom door, which I leave open only when I'm alone, there's a small light plugged into a socket to make the nearby bathroom door visible late at night. This light ends up shining into the opposite wall, big orange patch of light that's visible from where I usually sit on my bed during the day. I was gaming at the time, playing a game completely unrelated, and I look up to check the clock on the wall. The way I'm sitting, when I look at the clock, I can see the open doorway at the same time. And in the span of time that I'm looking at the clock, then look back down, I see the silhouette of Bonnie's head in that patch of light. I know it was Bonnie because of the flopped over rabbit ears and the size of the snout. I don't have any explanation, if there is one, for why a fictional murderous animatronic would briefly make himself heard and then seen when I was home alone last month. I haven't seen or heard anything since. So far, it's been a one-off occurrence, but the thing about it being Bonnie specifically that scares me is that the creator of the game series, he has admitted to having nightmares about Bonnie previously, during the creation of the game. Makes me wonder and fear that Bonnie isn't just a fictional character. Maybe it's something else that's inspired and used his game series as a platform to do something. I cannot guess at what, so what do you guys think? Is Bonnie something darker that inspired the game series so it could spread itself? Maybe it's something else using the scary robot as a guise, like other dark things that disguise themselves. Maybe the popularity of the game and the creator's love and care in making them has expounded enough energy to make something manifest. I'd love to hear your thoughts, and if this story is received well, I might write in with my other far less scary story of paranormal experiences I've had. Thanks for the show. Please keep on making it and keep on being yourselves. It makes me feel better having some sort of platform where I can express this sort of experience and not feel crazy or get dismissed as just wanting attention.
I think that's a really good point, that how many fictional characters in culture are based on demons or monsters or anything that has actually scared their creator, but, you know, like in this case, the game creator.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he dreamt about that plagued him, he turned into a character in his game. Makes you wonder how many other fictional characters are based on terrifying events like that.
It's a rock of fire explosion from hell.
Yeah, it is.
You know, that's an interesting thought. My other thoughts on it are, and someone I think pointed out, I was scanning the message board or an email or something recently, and because we've talked about this recently, about ideas that people have,
mm-hmm,
of, you know, basically invented characters, things that did not exist until someone just came up with them, essentially then manifesting as something, as an entity, as a ghost or something of that nature. And there is a name for it. When that happens, I'm going to say what I think it is, and I could be completely wrong. I believe is it Tupela? Is it something of that nature?
I don't know.
Does that sound remotely correct? Let me just take a quick little peek here, because there, I believe, was a discussion about it recently.
You had kind of brought that up on a couple shows ago, too,
mm-hmm,
about ideas turning into manifested things.
Yeah. Tupela, yeah. Created by intense meditation, basically. So it's the concept of it, essentially.
Okay.
So it's something that you conjure up, and then it takes on a life of its own, which I would think is not necessarily just your energy creating a intelligent being of some sort. I think it's probably more so something, you know, is taking on the form of something that you consciously fear.
Okay.
Which is usually like something dark,
mm-hmm,
that's going to be doing that. So in a lot of cases, I think that may be what it is. But when you have something like this where there's literally millions of people who've played that game and are freaked out by it and in their minds have this now fear of this creepy rabbit-esque creature,
mm-hmm,
I don't know if that energy in itself could then increase the odds of that being the sight that people are seeing, because there's so much thought energy going towards one specific idea of something that's dark.
That, or there's probably cases where something dark is already lurking somewhere, mm-hmm, and viewing the person play the game.
Yeah.
And then think, oh, that's what they're afraid of. Well, I'll just manifest as that.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think that's the case when a lot of things like that start showing themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting concept, and yeah, it's something it's just been popping up on the show a lot recently. I don't know why. But that seems to be how it goes.
That's how our show goes.
So, another letter. Hello, I absolutely love your show. I've learned so much from other people's stories and your knowledge of the supernatural. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the most recent event. I'm not 100% sure if this is supernatural. Since I was about 8, I would start having dreams that would come true. When they started, I would dream of someone dying or getting hurt really bad in specific ways. But every time, the person's face was blurred. Within 3 days of this dream, someone I knew would die or get hurt. The first one was my uncle, but some people were just people that I knew, but not too close. The dreams continued until about 7 years ago, and then it changed to not being able to sleep. Imagine the worst night of sleep you would experience, tossing, turning, not able to get comfortable, but I would not have the dreams. When I was pregnant with my second son, I had just gotten done talking to my grandpa. A few nights later, I couldn't sleep. Got a call from my mom. My grandpa had a stroke that night after the phone call. He'd been there by himself for 2 days before my mom had called the police to check on him. She and I both lived far from each other and him. He later died. About a year later, the tossing and turning started again. This crazy thing is the way it starts. It is very indiscreet. I don't really notice until like the end. When I've complained so much to my husband about no sleep that it hits me. It's been 3 or more nights in a row, then it's just a waiting game. So I'm losing sleep again. I got to the local gas station to get gas and I see this missing persons flyer. A friend of mine that I had just seen about a week before. But we didn't talk. Just a hi. He was found a year or so later. He had committed suicide right after he went missing in a very secluded area. Then, just in the last year, it turned into bad feelings along with the tossing and turning. My husband has always written it off. We've been together for 7 years, where the dreams ended and the sleepless nights started. Now I have 2 instances where he has finally agreed. About a year ago, a friend of ours died, completely unexpected. And sure enough, the 3 to 4 nights before, I didn't sleep a wink. When I got the call, I asked my husband if he remembers me telling him what happens when I don't sleep. And he kind of shook it off, and then I told him about our friend that died. He said, okay, maybe this does happen. This last week, I did not sleep, not putting 2 and 2 together. I took a sleeping pill, still no sleep. I got a call that my brother-in-law's was in a really bad accident and he was close to dying. That night, I didn't sleep. They called me the next day and said he'll be okay. I have sleep that lasts 4 nights soundly. Sorry it was long. Have you heard of this? What are your thoughts? I have a few other stories, not as long. Thank you.
Well, I've heard of it, not specifically the not being able to sleep part. Most of the time it's in dreams that message is relayed. But it's just premonition dreams. But I think that's something that I would be so anxious about not sleeping and worried who's going to die if I found myself in that position.
It seems to be very empathic behavior. And it's just manifested it in a couple different ways to this person. I could see where that would be. I mean, luckily, it seems like when this happens, it does seem to be fairly accurate. I think if an individual with anxiety had it, you essentially would start a trend and never sleep again.
Yeah.
Just because you'd start worrying, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But they're able to suddenly get a good night's sleep. But for some reason, the other nights just doesn't work, which, you know, I guess good and bad. I mean, you're able to not constantly worry about it. But once you have that, that would be very troubling.
I think so. I think I would be afraid to sleep or try to sleep.
Yeah. Sleep would not be a happy thought. Thank you for calling in or for writing in and sharing that story. That's, You got a gift, whether it's a good gift or not.
Yeah.
It's there.
It is.
It's the present you open up at Christmas time and go, oh, thank you so much. I've always wanted a sweater for a gerbil. I don't own a gerbil, though.
Or a pink bunny costume.
Or the pink bunny costume. That's true. We actually got one. Our littlest one had a pink bunny costume, which is super cute because she was like a baby when... And her first Christmas picture, the only time she's ever let Santa Claus hold her.
Yeah.
Her first year, she has the pink bunny costume.
Well, it wasn't just a costume. It was, you know, one of those really heavy onesies that you put a baby on because a baby coat isn't real feasible. So it's like a head-to-toe
coat
that's got ears. And she's just smiling away, and Santa's holding this pink bunny.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then the years after that, it's just been screaming in terror as if Santa Claus was a demon.
Yeah.
And we get home, and then she's like, Mommy, why is Santa Claus a demon?
No, usually when we get home, she's like, I wanted to sit in Santa's lap.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And she wants to go back. Yep. We're not doing that shit. Nope.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to call in your real ghost story to us. Of course, if you like the show, you know what to do. Help keep us on the air. Support us. It's only $5 a month. It's the cost of a cup of coffee. And you get access to our archive of more than 50 EPP episodes, as well as exclusive video material, archive shows that have fallen off iTunes. There's a lot of perks there for being an EPP. And most of all, the thing I appreciate most and we appreciate most is you're letting us continue to do this show, because that covers all of the costs of keeping the show out there, the bandwidth to download the show, to host the show. I mean, not us hosting the show, but like the web hosting of the show, website, all of that fun stuff, the phone number. There's a lot of costs that go into producing a radio show, and that's what that covers. So thank you for that to our EPPs that exist. And if you're not one yet, please consider being one. The more we get, the bigger and better show we can make for you. All right, next letter. Hi, my name's Manny from Rialto, California. I'll get straight to the point. I moved into my girlfriend's parents' house about a year ago after I found out we were going to be parents. So I've been living with her and my with her parents, my girlfriend, soon to be fiance, and now my baby daughter for about a year. Happiest days in my life, of course. My story is I've experienced weird noises during my stay at her parents' house. My recent event that I think is paranormal was a week ago. During my days off work, I like to sleep until 11 a.m. And my girlfriend is a morning person, so she's awake around 6 a.m. During that morning, around 8 o'clock, I was woken up by this loud bang in our room, like if someone hit the wooden frame of our bed. But it was just a loud bang. I didn't feel the bed move or hear anything fall off the ground. I just heard the loud bang. My girlfriend was walking into the room, so she heard the loud bang as she walked in. I woke up and she was staring at me, confused, wondering what made that noise. She asked me if I heard it too, but as for me, I thought the noise was just in my dream that woke me up. I told her that I did hear the noise and it was the reason I woke up. We then started to look around the bed for a possible answer that could have made a similar sound. The problem is we have carpet in our room, so it couldn't be a fallen object, and there wasn't any other object in the room that could cause a similar sound. Our bed does not have any metal frame and is consisted of old wood with drawers all around and a headrest made of wood. And also, if you ask me, the bang came from the headrest, if that's the proper term. It sounded like if someone tossed a hard, solid object at it or slammed one of the drawers shut, but I didn't tell her that. So we just let it go and pretended it was no big deal. That's just one of those strange moments when there's an explanation for it, but we just couldn't find it. Now that I think about it, it's not the first time I've been woken up by a loud bang or noise. When I was still living at my parents' house, I would sometimes be woken up by a loud sound coming from inside my room. I always thought there were from my dream, so I never thought anything of it. The strange thing is that they only happen during the day when I'm sleeping or in taking a nap. Sometimes the noise would just sound like a loud clap. I never felt scared or anything, but it might just get me agitated if it occurs again. Why would something out of this world mess with me? I never called for any supernatural attention. I do have another story that is far scarier than this one. It has to do with sleep paralysis and a dark figure who whispered in both of my ears as I tried to wake up. The whisper sounded like it was speaking in a foreign language, but in reverse. I might just write that story right after this one. Thanks for reading. I'm not sure if it is scary enough to make it on your show. I hope someone has a similar experience so I know I'm not going crazy. So if you are hearing my story and if you can relate to this, please write your story. Thank you for your time and keep up the amazing show.
That sounds a lot like exploding head syndrome.
It does.
The only thing is, with the original instance that he was referencing, they both heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see if you're sleeping during the day or trying to nap that, you know, you're never quite getting into that deep sleep. And that's a lot of times when that happens, that exploding head syndrome sound.
Sure.
So that might be something that's going on. Now, as for the one that they both heard, I don't know what that could be.
I'm going to go with it was passive aggressive, pissed off wife syndrome. And she wanted him to get out of bed and try to make him think there was a ghost.
Now, where would you come up with an idea of passive aggressive, pissed off wife syndrome?
Because he is sleeping far later
in
the day, mm-hmm. and she's up taking care of the kids, and she doesn't want to say, get out of bed. So that's where I come up with that.
That's where you toss one of those stuffed animals that has a hard nose.
Yes.
And the nose hits the headboard.
Yes. And then he wakes up. Oh, I don't know what that was, honey. I could see it being that. I don't know what that was.
I never did that to you.
No, no, and I'm no way saying that's okay. You. I just made that up because okay. What I'm saying is the fact that she's up at 6 a.m., he's sleeping till 11. And I know, I mean, it's probably a work schedule thing, sure. and he just needs to get his rest. But I could just see it being like, you know, the kids are up and she's taking care of him and he's just sitting there in bed, not helping.
Yeah.
And it's a little one. And instead of going in there saying, can you please get up or whatever, mm-hmm. however their dynamic is of asking the other one to help them, she threw a bowling ball at the headboard or slammed the...
Yeah.
Or slam the drawer. And she just happens to be right back there in the room. What was that? I don't know. Maybe it was a ghost. Maybe you shouldn't sleep during the day because that's the only time ghosts seem to show up.
That's funny. Could be.
So I don't know. That's just a guess.
Yeah.
And no, you do not do anything like that to me. So don't take it that way at all.
Okay.
I just thought it was, you know, kind of a funny coincidence there.
Yeah. It is funny.
Yeah, we're both pretty much up at the same time almost mm-hmm. every day, right around the same time anyway. And that seems to work out well. I don't know. I feel guilty staying in bed as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, any later than you. I don't know. I just do. So, I mean, and plus I'm kind of awake.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to get up and go. I miss the days of being able. And it's not saying I want to sleep till 11. I miss being able to sleep till 11. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think my body can do it.
Sure.
Like, even if, you know, there was a day where the kids aren't here, they're at grandma and grandpa's or whatever, I think I, you know, I wake up around the same time every day and it's like, after a half hour of just sitting there, it's like, I gotta get up and do something.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, I don't know. I suppose if I was extremely tired, can you sleep that late if given the option?
No, not usually.
Without being ill?
No, I toss and turn too much.
Yeah. I don't know. Someday. Although they say as you get older, you need less sleep, right?
That's what they say.
That doesn't make any sense. I would think you need more sleep. Wouldn't you?
Don't
you get
know.
Tired quicker?
I don't know. I think about my grandma go to visit and they are going to bed after I do and they are up so early.
Are my grandparents napping a lot? Do you just get more naps during the day then? And that's why you need less at night? Because it's like, oh, I'm taking my morning nap, midday nap, and afternoon nap. Do they nap?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't know.
Ellie writes in, ever since my older brother and I were babies, my family's always had this taxidermy decoration of a male deer's head and neck. Even after we moved, they would always pack it and make sure they never forgot it. My dad always told us that it was a real deer, and he shot it on a hunting trip with his friend before either of us were born as proof. He would keep a picture of the day he shot it in the same room whenever or wherever we kept the head, usually in whatever room we kept our toys. The picture showed him holding the deer's carcass, head and body attached. Even while we were growing up, my brother and I were always creeped out by the deer head, as we called it. It just gave us this weird feeling, and we hated even going into whatever room it was in. But since it would usually be in the same room where we kept our toys, usually our huge Beanie Baby collection, we had no choice, since my mom had a strict rule of how many toys we were allowed to take to our rooms. Even during the day, neither of us would go in that room alone. We used to even try to sneak our toys to other rooms or to our room just to get away from it. After we moved to California, the deer head got the room upstairs, where once again it shared the room with not only my dad's hunting picture and my brother and I's toys, but also with a computer. Our old Halloween costumes, our videotapes, the extra TV. When we got a little older, we would often tell our friends and parents that it stared at us and that we saw it blink, like any kid would do when they had something like that. My brother and I would even camp out upstairs, holding toy lightsabers, trying to catch it in the act. However, we stopped doing that since, for some reason, it would get an extremely hot in that room. When I got older, I noticed that the deer's head had changed position, and that I would see deer in my dream out of the corner of my eye. I have a very good memory of my past and my dream, so I know that I'm not imagining things. And after years of staring at that deer, I knew that it used to face straight forward at that window on the opposite wall, but now it was looking to the right, and I don't mean that its glass eyes turned. I mean that it had turned its head. Ironically, that was the direction where the stairs were, and also the direction that the hunting picture was sitting.
So the deer head moved.
Literally turned its head.
That's great.
When you mount a deer head, uh-huh. It is typically straightforward. It's not like usually turning its head. That's very creepy. Did I miss anything? What, is the dad still around?
I don't know.
Like, I wonder what the dad thinks of this, if he's around. Mm-hmm. You know, can he say, yeah, that deer head did turn? Either a horrible taxidermy job, and it's just like the weight that's slowly tilting the head, or there's something going on there.
Well, that, or I could see it being kind of a prank.
Yeah.
Where the dad got a different deer head and just switched it without telling the kids. Like, let's see how long it takes the kids because they think the deer head's alive anyway.
That's something I would do.
Yes, it is.
That would be hilarious.
I think it'd be funny.
We should get a deer head.
No.
My Uncle Jim has a whole bunch of them.
I know.
That is a very, very interesting story. I was always scared to go to my Uncle Jim's house. He's an avid hunter up in Wisconsin, and he has, you know, deer heads, fish, you name it, all around his basement now. But when I was a kid, he was just in an apartment, and it was just, you know, it was like visiting Wild Kingdom, your stuffed Wild Kingdom.
Yeah.
It always freaked me out. Now it's, you know, it doesn't bother.
I don't have an opinion on people that do have animal heads.
No, if it's your thing, it's your thing.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm being watched. That's why I don't like them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something I wouldn't do, but, you know, if it's your thing and that's what you like, and okay, that's your thing. I respect that. It would be creepy having eyes looking at me. I try to not get things that have real eyes or eyes that were in something real looking at me. It's one thing to have like a porcelain bird somewhere, but other than that,
yeah,
it gets a little bit too real for me. Anyway, thanks for writing in and sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate that. If you have a real ghost story you'd like to share with us, we would love to hear it. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us and on the air. And the only way that it will continue, though, is if we have EPPs to do so. So please consider becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person, $5 a month. You get access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show and exclusive video, all that good stuff. That's what keeps the wind in our sails and the watertight doors of our Titanic closed. I mean, if they're open, we'd be sinking.
Don't say weird shit.
That's from Vacation.
It is.
I'd shoot you right off that effing horse.
I love that.
That's a great, great movie. All right. That does it for today's show. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.